This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
I'm here for it, bro.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
Wow, that does look...
That looks really good.
Jimmy Carter saw that and his mouth was watering.
We're not nice.
Her face, Greg, don't make me laugh.
It's not nice.
Greg, my face, you know I can't laugh.
All right. Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Are you okay?
No, my...
Oh, no.
All right, emotional?
No, my voice.
Restart the show?
Because they put that, I guess they put that thing down my throat.
Yes.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
Yeah. Let's do something normal, like a churro ice cream.
What
that sounds delicious.
Like a churro, the Mexican...
Yes, dessert.
We can go get it in the morning and say Buenos Aires to everybody, right, Courtney?
Yep.
And accompanied by...
The real Slim Shimey, please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
Curtis, are you an open the door for women
person? Chivalrous?
Chivalrous?
Chivalrous.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of... You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Greg Hill!
Show!
Greg Hill!
Show!
All right. What's going on, adults?
Good morning.
What up? What up?
Hi, injury report. Wiggy, how you feeling?
I feel good. I'm getting better every day.
You look better.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting there.
Your voice is better.
Yeah, the voice, the throat is still like, you know, I ain't no throat goat or nothing like that, but the throat still hurts a little bit.
Throat still hurts?
Yeah.
Call a lawyer. I see a bag of cash in your future. I have one for you if you'd like.
I would like a bag of cash.
Yes, the firm of Wiggins and Wiggins. Okay. And what was the name of your law firm?
J. Charles Wiggins and Associates. Yes. Why do you think like a...
You can't represent yourself. You're going to have to go to somebody else. Morgan & Morgan. Call Morgan & Morgan.
Do you feel like something was...
I dare to say our friends at Ketch's Law would probably take care of you if you have an issue.
I think that's just going to take a little time for the throat to feel better. But sleeping on that side of your face.
No, I don't sleep on that side yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Do you sleep on your back? Are you a back sleeper?
No, not really. I'm a shoulder sleeper.
Me too.
I can't sleep on my stomach because I F up my sheets.
How are you doing? You okay mentally?
What? I'm going to be honest with you. Made fun of it yesterday. Found myself out and about panic buying. Like, just stuff I don't need.
I don't think you need to worry yet. Well,
you guys told me yesterday that I do. Bought copious amounts of nonsense.
Huh. I see. So you're ready. Not only are you ready if the longshoreman strike continues, but you're ready for doomsday. You have become a doomsday prepper.
Yeah, it does feel like doomsday is fastly approaching.
All right.
That's the state of the world. Yeah.
And did I miss something?
I hope doomsday. I hope doomsday is far enough away for Bill Belichick to get a job for one more year, Curtis.
Do you think the one place in the world that Gresh most wants to visit is the doomsday clock?
Probably. Is that thing? I never pay close attention to that. Is it clicking forward or backward?
It's a great point. I've never actually researched its existence. People talk about. I remember when Trump was elected, or whenever there's a new dust up in the Middle East, they're like, the doomsday clock is inching towards midnight.
Mm. Do you really need a clock for that?
Because
I guess when doomsday hits, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe we could replace it with a giant Drake May clock and like count down the moments until the entire Patriots organization wakes up and realizes that it's time to start their number 3 pick in the NFL draft. Maybe.
Should we all, like, when you go to a baby shower and everybody picks the due date, like, should we all do that for Drake May and then see, whoever wins, we all have to take the lunch or something?
I have week 6, but that doesn't look good.
I mean, I don't understand what's going on with your former teammates and those who played for the organization.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Did you? We could get to it later, or maybe during they said it.
We
or
got
whatever,
another sheep out there.
Yeah, we do. James White. Did you see? Yeah. James White is not on Team Wiggenchime.
Yeah, I know. They say wait till week 10. Like something's going to change.
But nobody, Wiggy, when you ask them, can explain what changes between now and week 10. Like, whenever you're like,
because
nothing
changes.
Right. It's so arbitrary. It doesn't make any sense.
Wait till week 10. That's the best time for him to play. Or maybe week 11. And I always say, what changes from week 5 to week 11? Well, Pace going to somehow walk through the door? Is Matt Light going to off his cleats?
Well, Logan Mankins is coming.
They're assuming that somehow the offensive line gets better, which... Minus David Andrews, who's done.
Right.
And somebody, you're right, and some magical, Bobby Houdini waving his wand over a hat and some magical appearance of some legit offensive lineman. It doesn't get better.
No.
It's awful.
Right.
So so's the guy standing behind it who can't see, can't throw a pass or can't see a wide receiver open farther than 6 yards away from the line of scrimmage. So
why don't they say, it doesn't look like it's going to get any better, so just sit him for the year?
Because they know that that's an absurd take, but that's really what they want. They just don't want to verbalize it because they understand how bad that would look. Ken and I, around 9 last night, were having a vicious text argument.
All right.
He's looking to see if we could do a guest Ken Laird lead at 8:30 today.
Oh, I love
that. He has a hot take about... the Brissett situation. He disagrees with me, Wiggy, Shime, you, Courtney, everybody, about he was trying to get me into a position where I understood his line of thinking and made the argument, and I said it was absurd. So he would like to discuss this at some point.
Okay.
We can him in here. He wants to present another side of the argument that makes no sense.
Okay. I am down for a guest lead from the lifeguard at 8:30 on this morning show. He's probably advising due to the longshoreman strike, 6 foot distancing for everybody, Curtis.
That's right.
I would assume.
And he is bringing K95? N95
masks? N95
masks. Bringing N95 masks to Newport, so we'll be ready to go.
I have no faith that he plays anytime soon, Drake.
Ken Laird or Drake May?
I would say Ken Laird plays before.
Excuse me, social distance, please.
I don't know. I think we're getting closer and closer. I think Gerard Mayo is becoming less and less. He's like a broken man. The more we talk to him, at first it was, we're all behind Jacoby Brissett, 100%. Said it with his full chest.
Right.
As the weeks have gone on, it's kind of been like, well.
Well, it's kind of funny in some cases. He is, people say, wait a minute, Gerard, Bill Belichick would have done this. And he says, well, that's not the way we do things. And then he turns around, like the Ramondre Stevenson thing. Apparently he's going to sit. They're weighing whether or not he's going to sit on
Sunday
because he can't hold on to the football. So, but meanwhile, you know, that's what Bill would have done, mm-hmm. and we're back to, you know, we're back to square one when it comes
to
that.
This is the best time for Drake May. You literally have 4 weeks in a row of home games minus the London game, which is basically a neutral site game. It's not a hostile
environment. It was once a home for me, so.
It's not a hostile environment for a young quarterback. Mm. You'd go up against a team that's beat up in the Dolphins. Then you'd have the Texans at home. Then you'd be in London against Jacksonville. And then you'd have the Jets at home. And the Jets, you know, they struggled. Mm-hmm. So it would have been a perfect time to get Drake May in there and let him. Because what is Jacoby Brissett going to accomplish in these next couple of weeks if he's your starter?
Well, great question in the Twitch chat. And hello and good morning to those who are already up and at 'em and watching the show on Twitch.
Lamenting the conversation we're having at 6:06 a.m. while sitting here at home before the sun rises for another 4 hours.
How can Gerard Mayo sit down a running back for turning the ball over, but play Jacoby Brissett after turning the ball over?
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I really don't.
Great question from Legacy Kills in the Twitch chat.
You have the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Well, he's had one turnover in four weeks versus how many fumbles has Ramondre Stevenson had?
Yeah, but he said four. He's had four in four games.
He's got what? What's he got? Two touchdowns in 4 weeks?
Yeah. Oh,
right?
And he could have easily had a couple more. I'm not saying he's been good. I mean, Hunter Henry broke up an interception in week one on his behalf.
No, but I'm just saying.
I think Jacoby Brissett is on pace to have 8.2 touchdowns this season. Is that correct, Sean?
Yeah, less than Cam Newton's first
like
year.
That.
I cannot wait for Ken to make his argument because it is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And he was like, anyway, I can't wait for that.
So Ken is Team Brissett. What you're saying.
F it. I'm not going to wait till 8:30. Let's just do it.
Well, no, we can't. That's a good tease.
Okay, good tease. Let's do it. I'm with you. I can't wait to yell at Ken. It's one of my favorite things to do.
All right, so he's going to come in at 8:30?
I guess, or call. I don't know.
Okay. Ooh,
that's always very exciting.
Excellent. Well, we have a lot to get to. We will get to our leads shortly. We probably should try to get through all of the leads right away because we will be joined at 6:45 by the head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien, and then we will get to they said it after that, and that is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports, and we will certainly discuss what Sam Kennedy said when stress bragging on behalf of John Henry, who is apparently working very, very, very hard.
All right.
Whether you see it or not, we'll hear what Sam Kennedy said about John Henry coming up at 7, among other things. And then the news with Courtney at 7:30. And I think we need to find out whether a viral outbreak signals the end of Wiggy's all-time favorite appetizer.
Yeah.
I hate even saying it, but we will get to that during the news. And also, is there now overwhelming evidence that Smiley Face is legit? That and the rest of the news with Courtney coming up a little bit later.
This story had me gasping for air.
Terrified?
Well, I am not terrified because I'm not a man.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if you are a man mm-hmm. on the East Coast,
yes.
All right.
You better check over your shoulder.
I am a man on the East Coast.
It's alarming.
All right, can't wait to hear this one.
What else? I need a douche move ruling, I believe, at some point this morning on something that an NFL owner did yesterday. And we can also get to what are we doing on this show at 8:45. So a lot to get to. On our last day this week in the studio before we head to Newport, and I cannot wait to see all of you in Newport, Rhode Island tomorrow morning.
Lindsay had a shopping spree yesterday.
No, I'm aware.
Getting ready for the, what's it called again?
Equestrian party?
Well, it's not called an equestrian. It's called a garden party.
Garden party.
The style is like equestrian chic, I'd say.
But Courtney is recommending that the style of dress is equestrian chic.
So what are you wearing, Greg?
I am wearing, I just learned this yesterday, and we shared the video footage on the show. Jimmy Carter was dressed in equestrian chic when they wheeled him out. And so I am going to wear that exact same outfit for the garden party this afternoon and this evening in Newport.
Somebody memed that and it was the funniest thing on social media yesterday. Oh my God.
Can we get some, can I like find pictures of an equestrian, a garden party?
We can go over it if you want this morning on the show.
Because I've never even heard of a garden party.
We can help you. We can help dress you.
I mean, I'm wearing what I got. I wear what I always wear. I'm going to be swagged out no matter what.
Well, you know what you need to do is you need to, because it's Newport.
Yeah.
It's very bougie. You need to dress up the bandage. Like you need to throw dollar bills, dollar signs on
the bandage.
On the bandage.
No, this is my Trump bandage.
I understand, but I think I think you need to. You can get that thing all swagged up.
I think I might be taking it off today. I got to go see the doctor.
Really?
Yeah, I got to go see Dr. Lee. See, he's supposed to take my stitches out or something like that.
I will certainly be in flip flops. I can promise you that.
All right.
As we head to Newport, Rhode Island. I hope to see you tomorrow morning, all of you, every single one of you, at the Audrain Automobile Museum from 6 to 10 in Newport, Rhode Island. And we'll be joined tomorrow by Jay Leno in person on this show.
Very cool. So,
that is cool.
Yes.
Have you ever met him?
Long, like when he was doing stand-up comedy.
Jesus.
In the late 80s, early 90s or whatever.
Back.
Like before he was the host of The Tonight Show. But
I'd be interested on his thoughts in the new world of comedy, how people have to be so careful to say everything, you know, whether he would be where he was if he had to come up in this environment.
Well, think about how the relevancy of The Tonight Show has changed.
Okay.
Like, that used to be the, like, everybody would stay Wait, that's a different show.
It's Arsenio Hall.
Oh.
That was my Tonight Show.
I thought that was, like, Maury. Okay,
No.
That's Jerry Springer.
Those are the daytime shows, Corey. Come on now.
Arsenio Hall was not the host of The Tonight Show.
No, but I mean, it was the nighttime talk shows, is what I'm saying.
Yes, he had his own thing going on, Arsenio. Probably can find him somewhere at a Diddy Freak Off too. Yeah. If you had to take a look, what are you doing?
That's Johnny Carson.
Yes.
I'm giving you all the Tonight Show.
You have to tell us when you're doing a visual because some people are listening on the radio.
I forgot about the people. Was the Johnny Carson.
Yes, he did Karnak.
Is he the originator of the late night talk show? Johnny Carson.
I think that was David Allen Boucher.
Jack Parr.
Oh, wow.
Was the original host of the Tonight Show.
Right.
But Johnny took it to a whole new level.
Okay.
You could argue all day. It's like Brady Belichick. You could argue, if you're of a certain age, you could argue Carson Letterman all day long. I was more of a Letterman guy than I was Johnny Carson was great, but David Letterman was more my...
Oh, see, I thought it was Letterman v. Leno.
No.
David Letterman's 77.
Yeah.
He looks great for his age. I thought he was younger.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Do we have time for Scott from Weymouth now? Do we allow Scott down there? I don't even remember if we allow him on the show.
I think you let him back on one time.
Didn't he get, like, attack nurses or something?
No, I think didn't his mom's pass away and you let him back on?
He wants to talk about the road show. I guess briefly, real quick. Is he ever brief, though? He's never brief.
He's going to tell you how long it's going to take.
Hi, Scott. What's up?
Jay Severin reference.
Scott.
Wow. Isn't this something? All right, Greg, thank you for taking my call. Yeah. God darn it. I yesterday, you know what I did? I looked up my old calls and all right, I'll get on point.
Nope. Okay, thanks.
That is the fastest you've ever been with a caller I've ever seen.
I just can't. Like,
usually,
the man cannot make, he cannot get to the point.
Usually he gives us a time, like, just give me 45 seconds.
He does, but he said he looked up his own calls yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know where he was going with that.
Like, where does one go to look that up?
His phone log.
Is that where he
maybe he records them.
Okay. Cross-reference the phone log with the show archive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I need is the live stream of Scott checking his phone right after he realizes you hang up on him.
I mean, it's not great customer service, but I did it for everybody, on behalf of everybody else.
It's one customer. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Let's start the show by getting to Courtney with an update on what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. Gerard Mayo has confirmed that David Andrews is headed for shoulder surgery, likely ending his play this season.
Looks like he'll be back next year.
Yeah, that's what it tells me.
Yeah,
so
that's what it tells me.
Maybe another year of David Andrews. And it seems like we now know the potential landing spots for Devontae Adams. Adams has reportedly told the Raiders which teams he would prefer to go to. Those teams are the Jets,
Patriots,
and the Saints.
Yeah. So he wants to be, I mean, why wouldn't he want to be reunited with Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
We talked about this yesterday. Right. And he's getting a little long in the tooth. What is he, 32?
31, I believe.
31?
Yes.
So he wants to go for it. I mean, that would certainly make that Jets team better. And,
yeah.
So it's Jets or it's Saints.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's where he would prefer. The Bills and Steelers have both inquired, though. So keep an eye out.
All right.
Thursday Night Football has the Bucks at Falcons. Dare I ask, Shime, if you're betting on this one?
Recheck in with me at 9 a.m. because if I'm going to commit to a pick that's going to be marked down, I want to make sure it's researched properly.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do that. In baseball, the Padres have swept the Braves to move on out of the wild card round and will take on the Dodgers in the NL Divisional Series while we wait on who will face the Phillies on the other side of the NL Divisional. With the Mets and Brewers tied at a game apiece over in the AL, the Tigers swept the Astros and are taking on the Guardians, and the Royals swept the Orioles and are taking on the Yankees. So there you go. And today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is pretzel roll sandwiches for $5 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather. Cold morning.
Oh, very brisk.
I didn't find it. Did you feel like it was especially cold?
50 or below when I walked outside.
I mean, it's October. I don't know.
I wasn't ready for that.
No.
I heard it's warming up for the afternoon, though.
It's going to be nice in the afternoon. Right now, it feels like 50 in Boston. Afternoon high, a sunny 72.
Thank you, Curtis. Our leads. What we feel might be the most talked about topic today, coming up next.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow, a Flex Friday in Newport, Rhode Island. Hope you will join us at the Audrain Automobile Museum. It is not only a Flex Friday, but a Patriots Friday. And Jelani Tavai will join us on tomorrow's show at 7:30 or so. And we'll talk to Jelani Tavai about this week at home and the Miami Dolphins and the absence for the rest of the season of David Andrews and other things. So all of that tomorrow morning in Newport. This morning at 6:45, about 20 minutes or so away, we'll talk to Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Greg's list.
But it's not my favorite.
That's fair. Yeah, your favorite's Gray Street, correct?
Yes, I think. Unfortunately, it's a no repeat Thursday, so I can't have you rejoin with Gray Street later.
But all maybe. Good. As soon as I heard Ken was going to be on the show today, I needed to piss him off and play Dave Matthews.
Ken does not like you playing Dave Matthews.
Yeah, I think he hates Dave Matthews. He hates Mumford and Sons, and I think he doesn't care for OAR.
No, he's not a big emo guy, I guess. Ken Laird.
Nah,
doesn't like to get into his own feels.
Ken, you know him. He loves Rush. It is what it is.
Okay, we're gonna have a guest lead from Ken Laird at 8:30 on this morning show. Can't wait for that. Shime, good morning and hello.
Morning, Greg. So I read this whole article on ESPN. They had this giant piece on why passing yards are declining in the NFL, and I think it's a question a lot of people have been asking. But ultimately, I think there's a pretty simple answer. Like, it's a couple weeks ago, Mel Kiper was just bitching and moaning about too high defense and how it needs to be banned from the NHL or NFL.
Where do you like the too high offense?
Yes, big fan of that. And it's not like that too high is ruining football. It's just that young quarterbacks don't know how to attack too high defense, because in college, they just spread it out. It's spread it and shred it, baby. Like, you're just throwing the rock all over the place. Explosive yards, explosive plays constantly. I mean, just look at the Alabama-Georgia game. Ryan Williams had, what, three or four explosive plays on his own in that game. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the NFL, defenses are not allowing you to get those big plays right away. They're forcing you to check down and work your way down the field. And that's why now one of the lowest paid positions is becoming one of the most important in the running back. Mm-hmm. Like, their offenses now are so much more focused on running back, because you have to chunk your way down the field. So if you are able to get explosive plays out of your running backs, that is what a too high defense can't stop. And another thing is that offensive line play as a whole across the league is just down. Like, what you think you're seeing with the New England Patriots is actually something you're going to see a lot of time across the league. Like, offensive line play has just not been good, because with the inception of 7-on-7 football, the athletes aren't playing offensive line anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no great athletes that play offensive line. They're rare. Like, Joe Alt might be the only one from this past draft that's going to be exceptionally good, whereas in past drafts, you could get, like, three Hall of Famers in the first 20 mm-hmm. picks at mm-hmm. offensive line. It's just not the case anymore. And so the decline in offensive line play and the conservative nature of defenses now mm-hmm. is just one of the reasons why passing yards are down. So you're just going to see it across football until later in the season, because of the fact that a lot of those veteran quarterbacks have been kind of weaned out, and it's a lot of youth, the big youth movement with the rookie paid quarterbacks now.
Okay. Shime, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Also, in prison, did he just heard you say too high needs to disappear? And he thought there was a rapper that he missed. All right, Shime,
take
good
that,
morning.
Take that.
That would be a great name for a rapper.
Too high?
Too high. Too high.
Yeah, that would be good.
Curtis, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. So I think context is an essential component to any conversation regarding the state of an organization, a country, and a major event. So, we have been all over Jerod Mayo, rightfully so. The team's lost three straight games. They haven't looked good. I just decided last night to do an exercise and look back the last time the Patriots had a new coach, which was the year 2000. The team that year began 0-4. Mm. This team is 1-3. Mm. The team that year, on an offense that had Drew Bledsoe, Troy Brown, Terry Glenn, Kevin Falk, scored four offensive touchdowns in the first four games. The Patriots this year have scored three offensive touchdowns in the first four games. The team that year had a staff with Bill Belichick, Charlie Weiss, Brian Daboll, Eric Mangini, Romeo Crennel, up and down the list. And the defense had a Hall of Famer in Ty Law, who played 16 games. Teddy Bruschi played 16 games. Willie McGinnis played 14 games. Lawyer Malloy played 16 games. A far more talented roster. And the coach that began that year had already had 4 or 5 years of experience as a head coach and had been an assistant in the NFL dating back 22 years to 1978. So, doesn't look good. And the team that year, 2000, went 8-8 the prior year. The team this year, the preceding season, had 4 wins. So it looks awful. It's not been good. But I believe context and understanding where Jerod Mayo is in his first stint as a head coach versus where the team was the last time they changed coaches is a little bit more of a color to the situation.
All right, Curtis, thank you. Well done. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning. I'm between two things right now. I'm between a sports lead and a non-sports lead, and I want you to choose.
I'm between two as well.
Oh, man.
I have a sports lead, or I have a bullet elevator-type situation. Uh-oh. Lead related. I guess go non-sports. I'll go sports, you go non-sports.
Okay. So as you all know, Greg and I very into the Karen Reed case, and Trooper Michael Proctor was a big part of that. And we discussed at length how important it is that these investigations, when somebody is killed, shows up dead, needs to be taken so seriously by the police officers on scene, because it leads 2 years down the road where they're pulling up receipts and things get messy.
Yeah.
Well, even more so, we saw this, you know, kind of fall into the Sandra Birchmore case. Now, Brian Walsh is up next.
Oh.
Brian Walsh accused of killing, dismembering his wife, Anna Walsh, New Year's Day. He was in court yesterday because his team is looking for all records pertaining to Trooper Michael Proctor, who is the lead person on that case as well.
Uh-oh.
They are demanding that prosecutors turn over all records related to Proctor, including his cell phone data, internet account, and more than 3,000 pages from any ongoing federal investigation. Now, this one guy who had these salacious, I would even say malicious, text messages with his friend group, talking about nudes of Karen Reed, talking about Balloon K, we all thought that was going to be contained to one case. It is not. The fact that he screwed up that one case is now going to lead to another family having to deal with a guy like Brian Walsh, who is accused of maybe the most disgusting, horrific crime of all time.
Is that the one from D.C.?
His wife.
Yeah. Okay. She was working in Washington,
yes.
D.C., yes.
And it could affect that entire case. Mm. And the fact that they're looking specifically for cell phone data has me wondering if he had done the same thing with this case that he did with Karen Reed.
Right. And that could lead to, if this man is guilty, to him getting off when it comes to killing his wife.
Correct.
Yes.
And what's very weird about this is that the prosecution said they were not going to call Michael Proctor on the stand at all for this. No. The lead guy in charge of this case, you're not going to call him on the stand?
Yeah.
Something is weird here, and this is going to affect all the cases that Trooper Michael Proctor was involved in.
All right, Courtney, thank you very much. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So as somebody who's been a longtime Pats fan, as I sit here on, what's today's date, October 3rd, and we prepare to play the Dolphins on Sunday, I would say this. I have no excitement at all for this Patriots team. If it wasn't my job, I probably would not watch them.
Really?
I mean, I'd probably watch this because I'm a fan, but it'd be a struggle watch.
Yeah.
There's nothing that... So I know there's a lot of people out there that are going to turn on the TV on Sunday and go, all right, especially you got the Miami Dolphins who are without Tua in their quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And they go, eh... Who wants to watch these two teams? Let's turn on Red Zone. Mm. And I'm not looking for this team to be great yet this year. That wasn't my expectations. My expectations were to see from the day that they moved on from Mac Jones, my expectations were play the quarterback because that's the whole thing
with you is that they're not playing Drake May and you're pissed off. You're pissed off.
Yeah, and there's no excitement at all. When I sit here and I look at the schedule, like, all right, you got the Dolphins, then you're home with the Texans, then you're Jacksonville in London. Like, where's the excitement for me as a fan when I sit there and go, okay, I know my team probably is not going to win, but I want to see the young kid. I want to see the performance of who it is. And so as a Patriots fan, it's just, this is like one of the years that I don't think I've ever felt that way about a Patriots team before.
Yeah. Well, James White would beg to differ. And
James White's probably not sitting down on Sunday and watching the game wire to wire. So let's be honest.
We can hear from him later. Thank you, Wiggy.
You got it.
The WNBA playoff ratings are in, Curtis. Caitlin Clark's playoff run ended last Wednesday at the hands of the Connecticut Sun, and a record audience of 2.54 million people tuned in to watch it.
Do you think that was a Hillman jinx because we were just so close to
probably because we were right down the road at the other casino.
Right. Mm-hmm. 2.5 million. Wow.
Over the weekend, the first semifinal showdown between the New York Liberty and the Las Vegas Aces occurred, and that drew 929,000 viewers.
Wow.
So, may I just say, as my lead, every single woman playing in the WNBA should get down and kiss the Nikes of Caitlin Clark, because without her, they go back to being irrelevant.
Yeah.
And the fact that they don't do it is bizarre to me.
Well, it's the part of the reason why there's nobody watching, Greg. Is that if they rip the person everybody's coming to see, so that when she's done, why would I watch these people that have been making life miserable for the person I'm watching in the first place?
Right?
Like, show enough, that's kiss that, my Converse.
They lost 1.5 million viewers between Wednesday night when she was playing and the weekend, which is the semifinals of the playoffs.
That would be like the NFL ratings going down from the divisional round to the AFC championship.
I mean, my Lord.
There's nothing there. There's no drama there when Caitlin Clark's not around.
It's not that. They don't like her.
No, I'm talking about fans.
Yeah, no,
I'm not talking about the players.
I think Curtis is spot on. The fans really, really like Caitlin Clark. They like what she's done. She's an extraordinary talent. She set all kinds of rookie records, and all the rest of them do is catfight in her direction the whole entire time. Like, it's, and so they're like, why would I watch?
It's a bad look when all eyes are on your league to have this type of response to a rookie is bad.
All right. Well, those are our leads. We're going to talk with the head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien, next. Time for our weekly check-in with the head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien. Bill, good morning.
Morning, Greg. How you guys doing?
By the way, I don't know if I should say this or not, because if it doesn't happen, I could have egg on my face, unlike the normal egg that I have on my face every morning. But talks progressing when it comes to my Dropkicks BC moonshot. I want to give you a heads up on that.
Oh, that is awesome, man. Very, very much appreciated. That would mean a lot to the energy of the next, whenever that next home game is for the Dropkick Murphys.
I would require some sort of Bill O'Brien national television Greg Hill Show shout out if we get that, if we make it happen.
No problem. Okay. No problem at all.
Okay.
Did you and Wiggy get your gear?
Yes, we did.
We did. Appreciate it.
Yes, we did. I don't know how you knew that we were upset that we didn't get any, because I don't think we mentioned it on the radio.
No, we didn't.
But I really appreciate you.
Can find Greg's on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, he wore it yesterday.
I did, yeah. I wore it yesterday. I looked pretty good. Somebody asked me if I was a linebacker when I was out last night. Yeah.
Well, you were in the mods, so that was a little weird.
Are they great colors, though?
Yeah.
Great
awesome. I wore like the athleisure yellow hoodie.
Yes.
A gold hoodie. It was, I'm telling you, it was slimming, to be honest with you. Very slimming. Bill.
That's awesome.
Bill, I got to ask, because it was a shock to everybody that Castellanos was out last weekend, and there are rumors swirling around. And so just to set the record straight, I had heard that he got hurt after Michigan State during the rush of the field. Is there any truth to that? Is that where the hit happened?
No. He got dinged against Michigan State on the goal line. I don't know if you remember the play where he fumbled on the 1 yard line, he got, and then he came in the next day and he just didn't feel, you know, great. And so we put him in concussion protocol, and he just didn't feel great the whole week. So we, in the best interest of him, in the best interest of our team, you know, we felt like, you know, he wasn't ready to go, and the doctor didn't clear him. So, but he's cleared this week. He'll be ready to go. And, you know, we're happy about that. Grayson James did a good job. He came in there and played a solid game, and we were happy with that.
Yeah, unlike some professional teams around these parts, you seem willing to play the backup if necessary.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, I think we have two guys here, you know, Tommy and Grayson. They're both good players, you know, and they work hard, and you know, Grayson struggled in the first half, but then he's got great poise and very smart guy, and made some good adjustments at halftime. We were able to pull it out.
Bill, you look at that game, Western Kentucky. We kind of talked about this early in the season where you have, you know, mid-major teams coming in to play the, you know, power four now, what we call it. And, you know, Western Kentucky takes you to the last, you know, last couple seconds of the game. What did they do that maybe gave you problems? How did your team feel good coming into that game? Because you guys look like you started a little slow. What did you underestimate them a little bit?
It was a terrible start, Wig. We did not underestimate them. I think that they're a good football team. I know they got drilled by Alabama, but they've gotten a lot better since that game. They have about 35 Division I transfers, you know, Power Four transfers on their team. Quarterback's a good player. Offensive line is good. Their scheme on defense is difficult. A lot of odd front, a lot of pressure. You just don't ever know where it's coming from. Very well coached. Coach Helton does a good job. So I give them a lot of credit. We're lucky to win that game. Thank God we have Donovan Ezeraku, because, you know, he single-handedly, you know, took over the game in the fourth quarter. He had 14 tackles, 3 sacks, strip sack, fumble recovery. If I'm a pro team, you know, I'm watching him very closely because he's a hell of a player, and he helped us win the game. So, but Western, we didn't underestimate them at all. It was a very, very difficult game.
People forget my guy Bailey Zappe, a product of Western Kentucky.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah. The Zap dog played there and threw for a million yards and you know, had a great career there. No doubt. No doubt.
He's actually, I think, for the game this weekend, he's working the Cup of Meatballs place.
No, he's not.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he taught Billy O'Brien the Patriots offense.
No. I think we taught Zap a few things. I think he's with the Chiefs now. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Billy, I have a question. You're halfway through, roughly, your first year. Where are you on this? Are you, like, overjoyed you made the decision? How has the transition been? Where are you right now as the head coach of Boston College football?
No, I love the job. I really do. I enjoy coaching the guys. They're really good kids. I really can't point to one guy on the team and say, man, you know, that guy's not a great guy. I think every guy on the team, you know, they really buy in. They try to do it the way we ask them to do it. You know, the administration's been good. One of the best parts besides the team, one of the best parts about the job is the student body. They've really kind of bought into what we're doing. They show up to the games. They stay for the games. And so it's been fun so far. I mean, we got to keep winning. You know, I think that's a key. We have a very, very difficult game this week on the road at Virginia. They're 3-1. We're 4-1. They got a lot of good players, and it's going to be tough. It's homecoming for them, and so it's going to be a difficult game. But so far, it's going okay.
Will it be hard to say no, though? I mean, you're having such a great season. If the NFL comes calling, or you're, you know, another college or university reaches out, will that be a tough decision to make for you?
I think, like, those things have come up so many times during my career. I'll be 55 in a couple weeks. I don't know if those things are going to come up anymore, Greg. You know, I'm very, very focused on this job, these kids. Like I said, I love the job. My wife went to school here. You know, I think it's a, it's just a fun place to coach, you know, and obviously winning is important, and we're for the most part, we're winning right now, and that makes it good, but it's enjoyable to come to work. It's one of the jobs, you know, I haven't had a job in a long time that I really, like, I felt comfortable in, you know what I mean, Greg? And I love coming to work every day, and I think that's helped, you know, in a lot of areas with my family. You know, with the guys that I coach with the guys that I coach, I have a passion for coaching these guys.
I don't know if you got to watch any of that Alabama-Georgia game on Saturday night, but would both of those teams beat the New England Patriots currently?
Man, those teams, what a game. No, I did. I watched most of that game, and I actually used that with our team on Sunday, you know, just talking about playing 60 minutes, that the game's never over, right? Georgia comes storming back. And then, you know, they take the lead, and then Alabama gets the ball. And in one play, Jalen Milroe throws a great ball to Ryan Williams, who's an incredible player. And you know, the game's won by Alabama. I mean, the game's never over. And that was one of the best college games I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, you have to look at him and remember that he's 17 years old, which is amazing.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Great player.
You guys get back to ACC play, first time seeing a team from the conference since FSU. Has that been an emphasis for your guys this week, especially, like you said, it being UVA's homecoming? Does that still happen where teams schedule teams they think they can beat for homecoming? Is that like bulletin board material?
I mean, I don't know. You know, Courtney, I mean, they could schedule anybody for homecoming. They scheduled us, you know. The rest of our season is ACC. Like, this is it, you know. And a lot of our guys on our team, like Donovan and, you know, Ozzy Trapillo, Kai Robichaud, there's a lot of guys that have really, you know, bled and you know, just really played hard for BC for a long time. And they want this season to be really a good season. And so, you know, this is where you do it. You got to play well in the ACC. And you know, the whole conference thing, not to get off the topic a little bit, but like, I look at our schedule. I got our schedule right here next to my computer, and you know, there's a lot of good teams. I mean, we got Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech, Louisville, Syracuse, SMU just crushed Florida State, North Carolina, Pitt at the end of the year. You know, it's a good conference. It's going to be some very, very difficult games, and this Virginia game is going to be really a tough game.
Bill, all right, this is my last one for Bill. I know it's a good conference and you got a good schedule, but are the guys confident? Like, you got a good football team. Are they buying into, like, okay, we can do this? You know, it's all about having that self-confidence and saying that, yo, we got a good schedule ahead of us, but we're also a good football team. Do you feel like your team is at that point now where they feel like they can step out there on any Saturday and beat anybody?
I think that's a great question, Wig, and I think about that all the time. You know, I think the leadership on this team is very confident, right? I think that we have some, you know, our six captains. You know, I mentioned Kai Robichaud. I mentioned, you know, Amari Jackson, one of our corners, Max Tucker, a Boston guy, one of our other corners, KP Price, the safety. I mean, these guys are very confident guys, and I think that definitely you know, the rest of the team sees that. And so I think that helps. But the big thing for us is, you know, we've got to take it one play at a time. We've got to start these games better. We have to be better on first down on both sides of the ball. There's things that we need to really improve upon. And I think we've worked hard on that this week. And hopefully that's given these guys confidence. I have confidence in the team. I look at the team. I've been doing this a long time. I think it's a very, very tough, solid football team that can win any of these games. But we got to go out there and do it.
All right, Bill O'Brien. I saw Mike Conlon recently. I said I would promote. You have the put a plug in. You have the coaches show this evening and every Thursday at the Stockyard. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Okay. We're at the Stockyard with Pete Cronin and John Mita Perel, and great food, great atmosphere. Right off the highway there. So yeah, cool spot. It's 6 to 7 on Thursday nights.
Are you a salad guy, or do you go steak, or like what's your go-to?
I don't know, Greg. I'm not sure I don't think I've ever met you, Greg, and so you probably haven't seen. I don't know if you saw me, you would know I'm not a salad guy.
Well,
I'm a pizza guy. I love Five Guys. We had Shake Shack here the other night. It was Ooh. Awesome. Yeah. I just love food. I love food.
Do they still give a really good meal for the plane ride home after away games at BC?
No.
Oh, we had Chick-fil-A when I was there. It was the best.
Well, yeah, we do have Chick-fil-A once in a while. Yeah, once in a while they give us Chick-fil-A. But I wouldn't say that, yeah, Chick-fil-A's good, no doubt. Right. But it's not a gourmet meal.
All right. Got to fix that one.
Yeah. Well, having never...
Linebacker.
All right, Bill O'Brien, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you again next week. That is Bill O'Brien, head coach at Boston College, and we will get to They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports coming up next, and we will definitely talk about what Sam Kennedy said while stress bragging on behalf of John Henry on a podcast yesterday. That is coming up next.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.